Phoenix FM.
Right, it's just coming up to 10:21 on Phoenix 98 FM. You're listening to Michelle Ward with Eat My Brunch. And joining me in the studio today is Jane Merrigan from St Francis Hospice, Bridget Salis and Claire Edwards, who are part of the palliative care team for Queen's and King George's Hospitals. And they're here to talk about Dying Matters Awareness Week, which has been running from the 8th right the way through to the 14th of May. Because the whole point about Dying Matters Week is to talk about dying. Absolutely. Because people don't think the funeral industry has actually helped things get better by having more funerals that are more lively. Yeah. You can have someone that does like Trotters Independent Trading, you can be carried off in that. But you know, there's things that it's really to get people talking about things like wills, because it's very, very important to make sure you've got a will. Also, your favourite song you might want played at your funeral, because people think that they know, but people don't. So it's really to get out there and talk. So we're going to start with Jane first, and you're from the wonderful St Francis Hospice, do an amazing job for the area, not only at the hospice itself, but looking after people in their own homes. Tell us about what the hospice are actually doing.
Yeah, well, we get involved, like you say, in Dying Matters Week, because death, dying and bereavement are still very uncomfortable topics for a lot of people, and we see the usefulness in actually trying to normalise that discussion and try and, I suppose, just take some of the fear out of process. So this year the hashtag is What Can You Do? So we decided to actually identify six practical, easy things that people could do to actually start a conversation or to help the hospice. So the first action was to help us myth bust.
I'm glad you did that, because I couldn't get it right.
Bit of a tongue twister.
Myth bust. So we picked three common myths about hospice and hospice care, and so we promoted that across social media on Monday. And the first myth is that we only care for people in the last days of their life.
Yeah.
And as the ladies know, that's just not true at all. We care for people from the point of diagnosis right through, and that relationship can go on for years and years. So that was one, and that's an important thing to kind of have people talk about, isn't it? That it's a relationship, and it can be a relationship with many people, not just the person who's suffering, you know, with the condition or the illness, but actually the family and loved ones as well. The second thing we encounter a lot in St Francis Hospice is that we only care for Christians. And I'm part of the communications team, and we spend a lot of time trying to actually let people know that our catchment area is Brentwood, it's Barking and Dagenham, it's Redbridge, it's Havering, it's West Essex. So you know the amount of nationalities, the amount of religions that are within that catchment area, and we care. We're the local hospice for every person within that area, should they, you know, choose to come and, you know, have hospice care, we are the place that they can come, and we treat everyone equal. We're non-faith and all faiths. That's what we like to try. And then the other one is that hospices are really just for people with a cancer diagnosis. Again, that's not true. We have people with motor neuron disease, Parkinson's, lung disease, heart failure. Any condition that is life-limiting, talk to your GP and you can receive a referral and receive start care at an early stage in your diagnosis. So there were our three myth busts. The girls here are involved in myth busting as well, and they're frontliners, so they probably know a lot more than
now
I
Now, we
do.
Have to give a round of applause, because you're both nurses, aren't you?
Yes.
So, I mean, round of applause for the hard work that nurses do. Don't get enough recognition. Now, we've got Bridget Salis and Claire Edwards. So, Bridget, we start with you. Tell us about your role, because you're at Queen's and King
George's.
That's right.
We are part of the specialist palliative care team for the local trust, which is an acute trust, and like Jane and St Francis, our catchment area is very diverse. It covers, you know, a very ageing population, and that older generation are getting older. Specifically, I'm a clinical nurse specialist in palliative care, and I've been doing that for 10 happy years. Again, one of the myths may be, oh, it's all about death and dying. End of life care. That is a small bit about what we do. A lot of it is about that general support, comfort, symptom control, emotional support for, you know, not just the loved one, it's their families, it's their friends, it's supporting each other as professionals as well. But again, it's about a lot of our role is about education, not just for professionals, but also for the public. And that is where this launch pad for Dying Matters really took off, you know, nearly 7-8 years ago. Saying it's a national initiative, but we all do something, you know, to promote and just raise that awareness about death, dying and bereavement. And, you know, for our theme, what we chose to do was something called Come Dine With Me. So it's very much... it can be realistic, idealistic, who would you want to have dinner with, where and what. And the top runners at the moment is having steak and chips with Tom Hardy.
Too right. I think we're all in agreement there.
Yeah, but again, it's just getting people talking about it and getting people thinking, because a lot of the time people leave it far too late to make their wishes known, and it's just about raising that awareness and just...
planning.
Yeah, a lot of it is what we call advanced care planning, and that is a lot of the role that my colleague Claire does.
My job title is End of Life Care Facilitator. So what I do in Queen's and in BHRU in King George's as well, is I try to support professionals to talk about death and dying, and to recognise that a patient can do advanced care planning and plan for their life, not just for their death, for their life, how they want to live, what they want to do, ambitions. A lot of the work that I do is about supporting the professionals to talk to the patients, because everybody thinks it's quite a taboo subject and they don't like talking about death. So I'm there to facilitate people to find those conversations easier, and it's quite largely a teaching role, really, in BHRUT.
Sometimes you can't get them from the hospital to St Francis, and also because you've got limited bed numbers as well. So the job that you do at the hospital, because obviously you've got, you know, people coming to see their, it might be their parents or whoever, their loved one, it must be very difficult for you. Do you take that home with you when you've got, because you're dealing with this all day long, or do you sort of... how do you deal with that yourselves?
Well, I really see my role as I feel quite honoured, actually, to be a part of these people's lives, to give them something when they really need some support.
Yeah,
I take joy home with me, I think would be the right word, because I'm facilitating somebody to be able to tell me who they are as a person, what they want as a person, and how they want to live their life, and then helping them to plan for when they die to support their family.
Yeah.
So that actually is food for the soul, really, rather than a torment for me.
And do you think that people are actually, the person that is dying, are they more communicating with you than they are their own family, because they don't want to upset their family?
Yes. So a
they
lot talk of the time,
to you sometimes.
A lot of the time, accepting. Yes. A very common situation would be where the patient or the individual may say, well, can we talk to you about this? But I don't want my family to know. But then it can be vice versa, where the family will say, well, can we talk to you about this? But I don't want my loved one to know. And sometimes it's us facilitating getting the patient and the families together to
have
actually start to talk.
Yeah.
Start to talk.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you can't help but sometimes take that emotion home. But with the right support networks, I mean, I think, you know, working in a field of end-of-life care, palliative care, no matter what setting, whether you're in a hospice, at home, community, or in a hospital, you know, you really do count on your peers. It's a passion. But again, that support, okay, you have your work colleagues, you have your family, you have friends, but I know for us, you know, we are very lucky to have clinical supervision, and that is professional supervision to offload.
Like we have, that's I suppose another myth as well, is that like we are always trying to dispel this idea that actually hospices are like our end of life care is sad, and it's so, honestly, it's really hard to explain to people who haven't experienced the setting or don't work in the setting that actually it isn't. Like I, you know, obviously there are sad days, but like I'll give you an example. At the weekend, we facilitated a blessing for a couple whose father is not going to make their actual wedding, which is in a month's time. You know, and I was telling my friends about that, and they were like, you know, that's... how do you do that, or how do you... but like Claire said, it's actually a privilege. Like I got to be a witness to that. I got to take photos for them to have for the rest of their life. You know, their father got to be there. He got to speak. They got to speak to him and tell, you know, so It's just such a privilege.
It is. I think it's a very privileged job that we do. You're in a very privileged position.
Yeah, it's
and it's an honour. Mm. It's an honour.
Definitely. Yeah. And talking about death and dying doesn't mean it's going to happen to you. So if you go and do your will, it doesn't mean that you're going to get knocked over. I think sometimes people go, I don't want to talk about it because if I mention something about something, it's bound to happen. But that isn't the way that, you know, if it's it does, but it's not. It's not in general. It doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's a very common myth, and a lot of the time, I think health professionals are worried about saying the wrong thing, or are worried about telling that person they have a limited amount of time.
Yeah.
But actually, just if you just treat people with kindness and respect, and you tell them honestly what you think and what you think is happening to them, nobody can ever be 100% right. But I think the patients really appreciate that, and it enhances their quality of life to know where they are and what is happening, to be given the opportunity to talk. And I don't think you can say the wrong thing as long as you're there with kindness and supporting the patient.
Yeah. Yep. And also with families, just to be normal, you know, it's just to carry on and be normal.
Yes.
And a bit like don't talk about the elephant in the room.
Mm.
And each person, whoever it is, it's got a different way of dealing. When it's your situation, it's actually you. Sometimes you're trying to protect your children or your family from, you know, trying to put on a front. And that's another thing about the hospice, I have to say, is when I went to the hospice, you walk in and you think, oh, going to hospice, this is going to be all. And you walked in and I was like, wow, this is really, this is, number one, it's a lovely place to go into. Everyone's smiling, everyone was chatty, everybody in the bed, morning, how are you doing? You know, absolutely lovely. And also the care that you gave to the family after the passing as well. So it just doesn't stop.
It's a continuous process.
Yeah.
It's a continuous process.
Like for us too, when you talk about coming into the hospice, we have so many volunteers in the hospice, and Claire will know. That they are so much part of the team up there. You know, we have volunteer receptionists. We, like you talk about the drinks trolley, that's volunteers that come around. You know, the thing about it is, care is everybody that is involved in the setting. It's like from the people that are coming in to help clean, the, you know, people that are, as you say, delivering the meals, people that are delivering the care, the, you know, the people that are providing emotional support, the physiotherapists. Like, there's so much goes into end-of-life care. It's such a big...
It's a team approach.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, for me, the way that I look at it, if you've got an onion, you know, at the core of it, you have the patient. The next sort of layer, you have their immediate family and close friends. And as you go out, you know, you've got, you know, further extended family. And obviously, us as professionals, you know, as Jane says, no matter if you're nurses, your doctors, your allied health professionals, your, you know, volunteers, we have volunteers, you know, at the hospitals, you're still part of that. Centre of it all, it's about making that difference, getting it right, because you only have that one opportunity. And that's just it, you know, it doesn't all need to be, you know, serious, you know, doom and gloom. Actually, in a lot of, you know, discussions sometimes, humour can be the best medicine.
Yeah,
but people are on a journey and we're there for them when they need us.
Really
is what it is.
Part of this discussion is very much about what people want themselves at the end of their life. Where do they want to be? Who do they want to be with? And we provide most of I think a huge amount of our patients actually are cared for a home at the end of life. And that's for most people, that is the goal. Some people don't want that, but most people want to be at home in their own environment. And that's where the specialist teams of nurses come in. And the job that they do is unbelievable, because they go into these homes at the worst time in a lot of people's lives, and they provide the most amazing care. And
and so the care we give, no matter what setting, it's holistic. You look at that person as a whole. For me, if you have your slice of cake, if you have a cake, you divide it into slices. If you have one half taken out, that cake isn't a whole. And if you put that as an analogy to a person, if you are just taking out one slice, say the physical self, that person is a whole. So, you know, palliative care, end of life care, no matter what setting, is about treating that person as a whole.
Now, as an individual.
What other events have you got coming up? Because this is going between the 8th and the 14th. Have you got events going on at the hospital to make
people aware? Well, we've done a short movie at the hospital. We've done a 10-minute where we've actually went round the hospital and we've spoken to fellow healthcare professionals, which has ranged from doctors to ward clerks to nurses, some of the staff that work in the mortuary at the hospital. We've done a short video to try and myth bust. And in doing that, we found a couple of people that have had really lovely stories about about vulnerable patients who are near in the end of their life. And one of our OTs, actually the gentleman, wanted to go out and feel fresh air on his face. So she got permission to take him out of the hospital and take him to the gardens. He was a very keen gardener to look at the flowers and things. So it's about promoting that actually we might be an acute hospital, but we still have hearts. We still want to look after every individual the way they need. And then we're going to be taking that little video out and about with us and use it as part of our teaching. And we're doing an event again tomorrow at King George's.
Yep.
Yep.
And then today and Friday in Queen's Atrium, where we're inviting people to come look at leaflets, talk about what they like, what they don't like. And exactly. As Bridget was saying, fill in a little menu about who they'd have their last meal with.
And there's information, you know, with colleagues about organ donation, tissue donation, making your will. There's support from Macmillan there. A team effort. And, you know, if you want to come along and just get a few free sweeties and lollies, there might be a few pens and balloons as well.
Yeah.
Anyone likes freebies.
With King George's, have they, because I've not been there for a long time, because I know at the Queen's you've got the piano, which you obviously both play in your spare time.
Of course.
So
chopsticks.
Have they changed at King George's when you go in? Is the atrium changed that section?
No, what we're doing, our MDIAN Matters awareness in the restaurant.
Right, okay, yeah.
So that way we're capturing the staff, because, of course, we're promoting the staff to talk about this as well as the general public, and we're the general public eat up there as well, so we're trying to meet everybody's needs.
Excellent. And back to you, Jane. You've got some more busters. Let me just set it right.
So yesterday then we moved on to asking people to sign up for an event, because obviously, as you know, we are only part funded. We have to make, I think, 7.3 million a year to keep our services running. So number two on our action list was sign up for an event. We have our Star Walk in Romford coming up, and I think there's a bubble rush that they're promoting. So anyone that has some spare time and wants to get involved in a good cause, come and sign up for an event. Then we wanted to try and promote volunteering, so that's the aim for today, is to tell people all the different ways that they can volunteer and the ways that that helps us, you know. And it goes from retail right through, as I said, to coming into the hospice and volunteering at reception, or doing, you know, bringing around drinks or giving people a lift up to the hospice. So there's any number of ways you can volunteer. So that's today's focus. And then education, which the ladies covered themselves, is a huge part of end of life care. And we have an education centre which runs courses throughout the year. And one of the things we wanted to focus on this year is we're running a summer school for young people between 16 and I think 16 and 18, I think it is, who are considering a career in end of life. So they can come along and have a little snippet of the types of careers, because there's a huge amount, as we discussed, from physiotherapy to OT to that you can do in end of life care. So that's, I think, in August. And then we have to mention on Friday, it's International Nurses Day.
Oh, yeah.
So our aim on Friday then is to sponsor a nurse to promote that, to tell the stories of our amazing nurses and all the nurses that work in end-of-life care. Yeah. And then our sixth action is to donate a bag to retail. So, because we have 15 shops, which, you know, can actually find a home for, I think, literally anything. Anything you don't want, they'll find a home. There's somebody out there that will take that. Yep. So please don't throw anything out. Donate your bags. So that's that. We are actually joining Queen's on Friday for the information stand.
Yeah.
Which is great. So we have our volunteers again are down there on Friday, and we'll have all our Dying Matters material and all these action items and all the information around them. We work very closely with Queen's.
Collaborative working absolutely is very important. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, what you're doing with the teens during the summer school, you know, that is, you know, it just gives them like that taster experience, because we know, like, within the trust, you know, for those considering, you know, a healthcare profession, you know, we're doing, you know, it's like a step into NHS, you know, the way forward perhaps is apprenticeships. But again, you know, what we do within the trust for bereaved children, we have like the treasured memories you know, scheme going on that's about providing memory boxes, pictures, and that, you know, because again, when it involves children, no matter what age, you know, it's really difficult.
Yeah.
It's really difficult, but it's still important to involve them. And so that's where, if we start work within the acute trust, but that work is continued out in the community with, say, like support from our colleagues at St Francis.
And do you get the day off on Fridays? It's nurses.
No, definitely not. No, we're going to have to work even harder.
I'm going on holiday. I said no, I don't get the day off. But I'm going on holiday. I shouldn't forget that, should I?
I thought that would be quite a nice. Yeah. All the nurses. All the nurses.
What would we do?
Everybody
with
has
all
a day
the
off.
Nurses.
What would happen?
But I mean, we do have a conference at the Queen's today, and that celebrates the, like, the Nurses' Day. And
yeah,
we do get a lot of recognition, so it's very much appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you. It's lovely to see you all. Thank you for doing such a fantastic job, because it is a calling to work in the sector that you do. Not a lot of people could do that. If you want to get involved with St Francis Hospice, so they're always looking for volunteers. Also, if you've got furniture at home you don't want, they've got their shops, which they'll come and you come and pick it, or you can get it.
We can come and pick. We have a close house clearance service, yep. And we also have an attic clearance service.
Oh,
now.
Wow.
So we literally will get up there and take everything you don't want.
Yeah, brilliant. Yep. So if you go to all the W's, S for sugar, F for Freddy, H for hotel, .org.uk, you can find out more there, and also all of the events that are going on as well.
Barkin, Haverin and Redbridge. NHS.trust.
Lovely. Well, you have. Are you all going out for lunch now? Or you got to go back.
No, definitely back to the grindstone. Yeah,
they are going back to work. They definitely are. Thanks very much for coming in, and best of luck with Diane Matter.